On Tuesday, the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention released a report predicting a sharp rise in new Ebola infections. In the worst-case scenario, 1.4 million total cases by January. The worst-case scenario, however, presumes that the international community entirely ignores the outbreak. It hasn't. On Thursday at the UN, President Obama said that a military command was up and running in Liberia's capital, moving in equipment and people to set up treatment units and train healthcare workers to contain the virus. This on top of previous containment measures. But Ebola bleeds, and if it bleeds, it leads, with headlines destined to alarm. The New York Times, The Washington Post, and Wall Street Journal all published stories shouting that Ebola cases, quote, could reach 1.4 million within 4 months. And then there's the TV.
Grim prediction today regarding the Ebola virus. In a new study, the World Health Organization predicted that the death toll from the outbreak could hit 21,000 people in just the next 6 weeks.
The Ebola outbreak has been especially troubling because there's no way to treat it or prevent the virus from spreading.
And the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, the CDC, says that cases could balloon to as many as 1.4 million by mid-January.
This all played out to the horror, but not necessarily the surprise, of Laura See, assistant professor of government at Colby College and blogger for The Washington Post. See says that the source of the hysteria was the CDC, but the blame is another matter.
For the CDC, they're a government agency, and it's a responsible thing for them to model the worst-case scenario. They need to plan for every possible contingency in this particular epidemic. So they should have done it, and as a government agency, that's probably information that doesn't meet the classification requirements, and so it has to be a matter of public record. I think the problem here is that a lot of the media coverage sort of set aside or didn't put as part of their headline or the lead that, you know, this is highly unlikely that we're going to see the worst case scenario.
Those headlines do employ the conditional could.
Right.
But a meteor could strike Earth next week.
Right,
Russia
right.
could nuke Europe. The Cowboys right. could reach the Super Bowl. Likelihood is another matter altogether.
Well, you know, as a Cowboys fan, I have to say, unfortunately, that's true.
Well, let's just agree that the Washington Post and the New York Times and many other news organizations who talked about the possibility of 1.4 million were indiscreet. But they are pikers compared to Bloomberg Businessweek. Can you tell me about the cover of the most recent issue?
It says Ebola is coming, and that's essentially the cover. But it's not written just in plain type. It is a graphic design where the words Ebola is coming look like they've been written on a wall in blood. And there's a couple of problems with this.
Starting with, Ebola is not coming.
It's not coming to the United States. Now, I think it is important for people to understand there is a chance that we could have, you know, a minimal number of people who have been in West Africa, who got infected but were not yet symptomatic. The incubation period can be anywhere from 2 to 21 days with Ebola. And they get back home in the States and they start to show symptoms. They go to an emergency room and they're diagnosed with Ebola. That could happen, but it's the what happens next that makes the difference between a West African-style scenario and what we would see in the United States. We have a very strong public health system, including a very strong infectious disease response system. There are plans to isolate patients very quickly, to trace everyone they've come into contact with. We have facilities all across the country that are equipped to handle Ebola or another highly infectious disease. There's not going to be an Ebola epidemic in the United States. It's not going to be something that people are having to flee their homes to get away from.
It's not casually transmitted. It's only done by contacting body fluids of a living or dead victim.
Direct contact with bodily fluids. And, you know, most of us are never going to find ourselves in that kind of scenario. So that's one problem with the cover, is that it's inaccurate. And I would add that it doesn't actually reflect the content of the cover story, which is quite good and is not sensationalistic at all. It's just the cover image that is particularly, you know, misleading. The other problem with this, though, is, you know, when you start to use blood okay, bleeding from bodily orifices is something that happens to Ebola patients in the end stages of the disease right before they die. But using that kind of blood and associating it with this disease, it's a threat, it's coming from Africa, that harkens back to a long history of tropes about Africa as this diseased and dirty continent. It's the heart of darkness, and who knows what could come out of there. And in a worst-case scenario, this is something that consciously or subconsciously contributes to discrimination and prejudice against people of African ancestry in our country.
Reading between the lines, you didn't like this cover.
Not a big fan, although I will say that it was slightly better than the Newsweek cover that ran in late August, which featured a chimpanzee and a similar thread about could African immigrants bring Ebola to the United States through illegally imported bushmeat. That's never going to happen, and they couldn't actually find any evidence that it would, but they use this imagery, you know, that harkens back to like a time during the colonial period when Africans were equated with primates, when they were seen to be savages, and this all served as a justification for colonial oppression.
Laura, who's doing a great job?
I think Gina Moore at BuzzFeed is doing a wonderful job. There is a Sierra Leonean reporter named Umaro Fofana. He is doing coverage for the BBC and some work for Reuters as well. And it has just been absolutely top-notch. Drew Henshaw at the Wall Street Journal and his team, you know, really sensitive reporting that respects the right of the victims, that doesn't oversimplify what's going on, and that doesn't rely on sensationalism just to get clicks on their stories.
Now, you've read the CDC report. What's your headline? And what do you think should have been the focus of the coverage?
Something like Ebola cases set to triple in the next month would have been a perfectly valid headline and a much more accurate one. I think another part of the story is why did it take the global community so long? We have known that this outbreak was serious at least since June and July, and it's only now, almost in October, that we're starting to see the kinds of financial commitments that are necessary in order to stop and contain the disease. And I think it speaks to some of the realities of inequality in global health, of whose lives we prioritize more. When Americans, health workers and missionaries, started getting infected in July, we started to see more American media interest in the story. The only people to be evacuated so far are people who are Americans, citizens of various European countries. A couple of weeks ago, a Sierra Leonean doctor, Dr. Olivette Buck, died of the disease after her government had spent a large portion of the week fighting with the World Health Organization, begging them to evacuate her, and the WHO refused to evacuate her, and so she died. And for Sierra Leone, that's not just a question of one more person dead, that's losing a doctor. Sierra Leone has a very limited number of health professionals, people who are trained and willing to respond to this crisis, but also the long-term problem of you know, what you do with your public health system after it's been devastated by an epidemic like this. And, you know, if Dr. Buck's life is not worth as much as the life of an American doctor, I think that says something really damning about us as a culture and about us as a people.
Laura, thank you so much.
Thank you. My pleasure.
Laura C. is Assistant Professor of Government at Colby College and a blogger for the Monkey Cage blog of The Washington Post.